views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
This show's audio was via a Skype call.
You are listening to The Empty Toolbox. Fire it up, fill it up, and flow it up with Meg Thompson. Tune in the first Wednesday every month, 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern. Meg is a certified behavioral consultant and certified life coach working with children, adults, and families. She combines humor, non-traditional strategies that work, as well as challenge mainstream ideas. She is thinking real-life success. Emotional wellness for all children is always her goal. Have you opened your toolbox lately, and is it empty? Are you fresh out of strategies and need new ones? Then the Empty Toolbox is for you. Tune in to engage in the three essential F's of an overflowing toolbox. Now here's your host, Meg Thompson. Hi, everybody. It's month two. I'm here. I made it back. I want to say I'm a little less nervous than the first time. I think that I might be lying. I'm still as nervous. I spilled water on my computer right before I tuned in, and that was a little bit scary. So you are listening to The Empty Toolbox with Meg Thompson. You're going to fire it up, fill it up, and flow it up today on Transformation Talk Radio. I'm really excited to be here. Really, really super excited. I'm excited to be here because we're going to talk about, right, our toolbox. I feel like teachers, when we graduate any sort of educational classes that we take, and as parents, we get a toolbox and we talk about a toolbox, one, right? O-N-E, one toolbox. And we shouldn't have just one, because when we open that toolbox, there are all these tools. And you know what? We find things and you pull it out and you're thinking, yep, I'm going to use that one. Like I'm going to pull out 1, 2, 3 magic. There are kids that works with. There are kids that it doesn't work with. If you're really struggling, it's probably the kid it doesn't work with. You're pulling out different things out of these toolboxes, and we're using the wrong strategies for the wrong kids. And we need to figure out what strategy works for what kid. And when we look at that, we have to think like, okay, I'm at wit's end right now. And I don't know what to do. So we are going to figure out the pattern of human behavior. We're going to figure out, is your child dominant? Are they interactive? Are they sensitive? Are they cautious? We have to perfect the relationship we're in with that child and not perfect the child. We have to perfect the relationship we're in with the teacher, the relationship we're in with our spouse, or the relationship we're in with our roommate or friend, and not the person. So I was caught doing that with my husband. I wanted him to be more adventurous and spontaneous and funny and in all of these things. And I was trying to change him. And he looked at me one day and he said, I'm not going to be like that ever. And I was like, huh. And I got mad. And then I thought, well, if you wanted me to be different than I am, I'm not going to be like that ever. I can adjust accordingly. And if you use the right tools, I can be successful. So we're going to figure out in this toolbox today, what are the tools for what kids? Because we're using these wrong tools for the wrong kids. So we're going to talk about this first kid, right? And in the pattern of human behavior, this first kid is dominant. So he is the leader. He is the kid who is powerful, right? Who is his soul is fired up with power. He's direct. Oh, or she's directed. Oh, geez. These kids are funny because they just tell you straight up how it is. Straight up how it is. And you're thinking, oh, there was no cushion. There was no soft landing. It was just straight out. They're determined. I am 100% into emotional wellness. So I'm using words that describe kids and describe humans that are okay to use with them. Determined is the pretty word for stubborn. Please don't call a kid stubborn. It doesn't matter how nice you say that. Oh, you're just so stubborn. And if you saw me, I have my arms folded and I have a pretty smile on my face. And you know what? That kid's thinking, screw you, lady. I don't like you at all. Because stubborn, it doesn't matter how nice you say it, what your face looks like. They're thinking, I don't like you. And you know what? I have this temperament. I have a little bit of this temperament. Okay, a lot of bit of this temperament. I'm not going to lie. And I am determined. I'm determined and I'm proud of it. I don't like to be called stubborn. That gives me the reaction, like a reaction of like, oh, makes me grit my teeth and squeeze my fists. These kids are doers. So they are task-oriented, which means people skills are not necessarily at the forefront of their thought. They're problem solvers. They are quick problem solvers. They are fast-paced. They're risk takers. Be like, I dare you to. You wouldn't dare this kid to do stuff. He'll do it. And don't make it really dangerous because he's going to do it anyway. They're good self-starters. They are good starters and poor finishers. So they will start a whole bunch of things. And they have a harder time finishing it. We like to call it multitasking, that we do a little bit of everything, and then we'll eventually maybe get to the end of it. So now we have this kid's toolbox, right? We have this toolbox of this dominant, direct, determined kid. What sort of things work, and what sort of things don't work for this kid? So they are physically external, which means when they get mad, when they get sad, when they get happy, when they're excited, it is outwardly physical, meaning excited, they'll jump up and down. Mad, they might throw things or punch things or hit things or push people, right? It comes out as an anger you showed in three places, your hand, your feet, and your mouth. So they are physically external with those places, meaning they could bite, right? If it's their mouth, they'll kick or run. If it's their feet, they'll hit and push. If it's their hands. So they are physically external. Know that you can't take that piece away without replacing it with something equally physically external. So if they are stomping their feet, what can you replace that with? If they are throwing things and hitting things, what can you replace that with? These kids have a harder time going from physically external to take a deep breath and walk away. That's a spectrum of I'm going to start with, this is how I show anger right now. I'm physically external. I hit. Now I'm going to take a deep breath and walk away. I still have a hard time taking a deep breath and walking away, and I'm 40. So we have to, what do? I am still physically external in appropriate ways. These words you might want to, another tool for your toolbox is these kids respond negatively to no, stop, don't, can't, and wait. Try to set up a yes environment for these kids. You will say no, and they will. It will automatically spike that energy or spike that anger, spike that excitement. You need to save no and stop for when kids are going to be unsafe. We are going to look at another tool is power struggles. So because they're argumentative, watch what choices you give. So this one, it's time for you to go to the bathroom now, okay, is a choice. That kid will say what? He will go, no. And then what happens? You gave him a choice. He picked the choice. Now you have a problem. Preferential language. Know that kids will, right? They are fast-paced. They want to say, tie it. And you will come over and you were like, huh? And then you go into this dissertation on manners and you're thinking, oh my word, you need to say please, or you need to ask in a different way. You can't make kids eat, sleep, go to the bathroom, or talk. So you say, I hear you best when you say, could you please tie my shoe? You are going to squat down, you are going to tie their shoe, and you're going to use that strategy for a really long time. The strategy will then change to, when they come up and say, tie it, you could say, you know how I hear you best. And then you're going to turn around and walk away and let natural consequences happen. These kids work really well under natural consequences as long as they are emotionally and physically safe. They will challenge the status quo. I am always, and I am a behavior consultant, as you know, and I am always challenging the status quo. I'm not interested in sticker charts. I'm not interested in ignoring behavior. Ignoring behavior and sticker charts for this temperament will is not a tool in this kid's toolbox for sure. So they are always challenging the status quo. They're always going to keep you on your toes. They are rule breakers. They see what rules are important and what rules aren't important, and they will break both rules. So what is the thing? You have to teach them what skill, I mean, what rule is okay to break and what one is not. And that's tricky. That's tricky for these kids. They dislike routine. So know that if you are very scheduled in routine, they are going to fight it. And they need to move. They might not need chairs. They might need a standing desk. They might need to stand up. They might not need chairs. Right when I taught kindergarten, we had chairs stacked and you could get a chair if you wanted. So here are some, these are some tools for this kid, for this really dominant kid. We're going to come back and we're going to talk about this interactive kid who is interactive and playful. So stay tuned. Thanks.
Stay juicy. Tune in to Your Juicy Love with me, Una Drake, co-hosting monthly with Dr. Pat, and every second Monday at 12 p.m. on Transformation Talk Radio. My show, Your Juicy Love, helps you find the dynamic, life-affirming love you've always wanted. Transform your relationships and bring peace, joy, and juicy, juicy love to planet Earth. For more information, visit unadrake.com.
Conscious Confidence Radio, a timeless wisdom with Sarah Main. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio and join Sarah on an adventurous journey to the deeper level of meaning to move beyond today's world of constant change, confusion, and uncertainty beyond the shadow of fear. This hit show explores key concepts such as confidence, values, and attitude in a dynamic way. To learn more about Sarah and her work, visit sarahmain.com.
Are you looking to grow spiritually, expand your consciousness, increase psychic abilities? Well, there's a free app for that. Pure Light offers audios that transmit high spiritual frequencies to help you awaken to your full potential. Hundreds of audios created by some of the world's top energy healers, and many are free. Enjoy the latest in conscious technology and download Pure Light today. To find out more, visit purelightaudio.com.
Hi, I'm Barbara Scheidegger, clinical hypnotherapist and founder of Swiss Hypnotherapy. And this is a tip with purpose. Be willing to make a change for the good. If you want to know what your thoughts were like in the past, look at your body today. If you want to know what your body will be like in the future, look at your thoughts today. This was Deepak Chopra who said that. And it's true. But it's never, ever too late to make a change. And many things can be reversed. If you put your mind into it and make an effort, now you can make the change and tomorrow you will feel much better. Start now and look forward. Past is the past. There's no future in it. But in the now, you can find the future for tomorrow. I hope this tip helps you. You can reach me at SwissHypnotherapy.com.
All right, so you got your dominant toolbox, right? You got it. You have it. It's filled up, I'm hoping, with, right? It's filled up with lots of good stuff. Now we're going to talk about this interactive kid. So this one is my favorite because it's me. So these kids are interactive. They're going to talk to anybody. I have a shirt that says, "Dear teacher, I talk to everyone. It doesn't matter where you sit me. It doesn't matter where you put me. I'm going to talk to you. Even if I don't like you, I'm going to like you for the time I'm sitting with you." So I'm interactive. I Every time I do a workshop, I think, oh, look at all these friends. I split people up in a workshop the other day. And I said, okay, so all the D's, that's that dominant one, is going to stand here. All the I's are going to stand here. All the S's, the sensitive one, which we're going to talk about next. And the C, which we're going to talk about last, is going to stand over here. And I saw people stand up and walk towards me. And I was like, oh my gosh, they're all coming over here to me. And there was like 9 of them. And in my head, I had to like focus on, okay, who's over in the D, who's over in the S, I gotta count. And in my head I thought, oh, look at all these friends. I have so many friends. And then I'm thinking, I wonder if they want my phone number. I wonder if I could like hang out with them. And then I found someone just like me and I was like, oh, you're my spirit animal. And I'm thinking, like, do you wanna be my friend? Do you wanna be? That's all going on in my head. They don't know that, but I am that interactive. We're imaginative, where if you don't have this temperament, imagination and being imaginative looks like lying. So in my professional life, I do not ever exaggerate stories. In my personal life, I do all the time. So it's like, how big is the fish I caught? Oh, I'm right. Huge, right? Can you see me putting out my arms as wide as they go? Or how long did it take you to get here? Oh gosh, like 7 hours. So, right, our imagination leads to exaggeration of stories and leads us to be good storytellers. We are inspiring, we are playful, and we are interesting, I think, and impressive. So those are our. That is sort of the adjectives we're going to use to build this interactive toolbox. And inside this toolbox, so here we go. We're going to talk about some of the strategies inside this toolbox. Humor. This is a temperament where humor works best. I use humor all the time. I get most kids with humor. There's one temperament that doesn't need my humor and engagement, and that one is hard for me. You know what the funny part is? I married it. I married the kid that's hard for me, and I love him as an adult. I wish I could tell you I have a reason for that. I don't really know what it is. He's cute, I guess, maybe. So humor, use humor with these kids. It's diffusing, right? So when the little girl comes up to me and says, my daddy was so mad, he turned into a fire breathing dragon. I'm not going to say, no, he didn't. Cause this little girl's going to say, yes, he did. No, he didn't. Yes, he did. What do I say? What? A fire-breathing dragon? Are you burned? I'm going to go get a Band-Aid and a piece of paper, and I'm going to write the story down. This is going to be a good story. So, right, I use that humor. Kids wait for that humor from me. I'm called Funny Meg in a lot of places. My reputation, I'm doing that in parentheses, is that I'm the funny girl who swears. I'm not allowed to swear on the podcast. I was giving strict instructions not to swear. But I am the funny girl. That's why people come to my workshops, because they're like, oh, if I have to come here and I have to give up a Saturday, at least make it entertaining for me. They like dress up. They like messy creative stuff. They like storytelling. They're verbally external. So remember, the dominant kid was physically external. Verbally external means what? We talk a lot. When we're mad, what do? We say bad words. When we're mad, we also do this, which is scary to some people. And it's not something you shouldn't pay attention to, but I want to give you a reason why it happens. That when we're mad, or when kids are mad and they want a reaction, we're interested in reactions from people, is, oh, I'm so mad, and I've had this in a school, I'm going to chop your head off with a knife. And then the adults go bonkers. They should go bonkers. Except this temperament likes that bonkers. We are trying to get a reaction from you through the way we show we're mad, which is verbally, I wanted to say physically, verbally external, which is really, really, really scary sometimes. It doesn't mean we should ignore it, but that is what's going on, right? So if human behavior is a pattern, when I hear that kids do that, I'm thinking, oh, let's dive into this and check out, let's do the assessment, the profile assessment with this kid, and we can figure out where he stands. Because if he has this interactive temperament, I see that. And I teach it differently than if a kid is emotionally unwell or has trauma in the background or has seen something really hard happen to people he loves. So, right, it's a much different approach. We work in groups really well, except if you want us to get a task done. We are interested in groups. We think out loud. So we need someone to bounce ideas off of. We need to learn something and then talk to somebody about it. Stick close. Otherwise, we're talking about tutus and unicorns and sparkles, and we forget that we're supposed to be doing work. But just so you know that we like to work in groups. We are also good starters, poor finishers. This is what I say all the time. I don't have ducks. I don't have a row. I have squirrels, and they're drunk. So I don't have ducks that live in a row in my head. I've never seen a duck in my head. I have no idea. My son and I, my son is six, we have marketed this idea from his little brain. He calls it a short thinker and a long thinker. So I'm a short thinker, which is a squirrel. My son is a long thinker, although he will say he's a short thinker because he wants to be just like his mama, which I think is cute. He's a long thinker. So our short thinker products has a squirrel unicorn. It's a squirrel with a unicorn horn on, like in dress up, and he's making a funny face. And there's another squirrel that was like a walk like an Egyptian, and he has crossed eyes. And the ducks, the long thinkers, there's one in a hammock, and there's one sitting on a log that's like putting his finger on his head to think. Like if you picture Winnie the Pooh as a duck in his thinking spot, that is what – so we've done bags and water bottles, and they're really cool. And every time I see the squirrel, I think, oh, my gosh, that's in my brain. And I never send my squirrels out to try to get something done, and they bring back ducks. Right? And I could never put my ducks in a row. I mean, I could never put my squirrels in a row. Imagine what that looks like. So I am a good starter, poor finisher, right? I do a little bit of this and a little bit of that and a little bit of this and a little bit of that. We need to teach kids like me when to talk. Well, when is a good time to talk in school? Probably not during the math lesson. Knowing that with these kids, you can say, okay, this math lesson is going to be 10 minutes. I need you to not talk for 10 minutes. And after that, I'm going to come talk to you and write, and then build that time of not being able to talk. At 40, I still have a hard time not talking. My husband doesn't talk unless spoken to. I talk all the time, whether spoken to, whether people want to hear me or not, right? That's why I have a podcast. I'm talking to nobody right now, but I would just keep talking. I'm actually talking to myself, my reflection in my computer. We need to know when to talk. So when do we have to use our ears? When do we get to use our mouths? We are impulsive, so we have a short power of the pause. So if we need to figure out the effect of what we've done, right, cause and effect, that's harder for us, right? Impulsivity is act first, think later. We need to teach these kids and myself to think first, then act, then think later. We have to teach them how to get the think first. Except the power of the pause for me at 5 was about 2 inches. Now at 40, it's about 6 inches. My husband's power of the pause goes around the whole entire house. Because, right, he has ducks in a row and he's thoughtful and logical and precise. I don't have that. But I can't always act on my impulsivity because it has gotten me in trouble and continues to, even at as an adult. We are entertaining. We like to be star of the show. That is not scary for us. We prefer that. So when you see kids doing that, how do we be star of the show without being distracting, without taking time away from other things? We have to be taught that, right? So if you notice, I'm talking about we're teaching skills and meeting needs, right? That's what we're going to do. 98% of the time, challenging behaviors are a lack of skill and an unmet need. And then we have to use what? Our two best friends of time and patience. You got to give me time to learn these skills, and you need to be patient while I learn them. So let's talk about another one before we go to break. We need to move. We need to be taught, same with that dominant temperament, we need to be taught how to use fidgets. We need to be taught how to, my spirit animal that I saw the other day was knitting. And I thought, yeah, that's your fidget. You taught yourself. It was really exciting for me to see. So right, we have this toolbox. We got some tools in it. When we come back for break, we're going to talk about this really supportive, sensitive kid and find out what tools are in that toolbox. Can't wait to see you guys. Oh, I'm not even going to see you. Can't wait to when you come back, I guess. Okay. We'll be right back.
Did you know that all of the shows on the Transformation Radio Network are available as podcasts to stream or download?
Really?
Check us out. Go to transformationradio.fm. We have business shows, spiritual shows, energy healing shows, and pretty much everything in between. Something for everyone, guaranteed to inspire, educate, and transform. We are transforming the world, one listener at a time.
Living Lighter Radio with Jason and Patricia. We have an ecosystem approach to your life. Tune in weekly every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio as we, Jason and Patricia, discuss what's truly holding you back. We offer you the tools you need to reach your goals and at the same time be living lighter. For more information about Living Lighter, visit www.livinglighter.org.
To find answers to life's questions, you need to look within yourself. Dr. Glenna Rice brings your questionable conversations on Transformation Talk Radio each month. Tune in each month for insight into how you can live up to your full potential. Dr. Glenna is a physical therapist, certified Access Consciousness, and Access Body Class facilitator. How does it get any better than this? For more information on Dr. Glenna Rice and her work, visit glennarice.com.
Love Living Radio Ignite Your Whole Being with Emily Perkins is a show for those looking to explore the sparkling magnificence of their inner selves. Tune in every second and fourth Wednesday at 4 p.m. Pacific as Emily sheds a radiant light of love on the beauty and power that resides within you. Discussing love in all its forms through conversations that provoke awareness, curiosity, and expansion, Emily shares the unlimited power of love. For more information or to listen to this show, visit lovelivingholistics.com.
Dream on, fly high, and live adventurously on The Laura Meeks Show. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio as host Laura Meeks guides you in finding your unique gifts and bringing them to life. As a certified life coach, speaker, and veteran bomber pilot for the U.S. Air Force, Laura knows how to follow a dream. She is ready to support you so you can dream on, fly high, and live adventurously. For more information on Laura and her work, visit flyhighliving.com.
Wow. Hey, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. I'm telling you, I got to pinch myself some days because when each of us gets called to do something that we so not thought was in our wheelhouse to do for a purpose that's so much greater than us, we get to show up and shine.
If you would like to show up and shine on the Dr. Pat Show as a co-host or sponsor, send us an email to inspire@thedrpatshow.com.
Okay, so remember, you're listening to The Empty Toolbox on Transformation Talk Radio with Meg Thompson. We're going to fire it up, fill it up, and flow it up, right? We filled up the dominant toolbox. We filled up the interactive toolbox. Our next toolbox is we're going to fill up that sensitive toolbox. So there are kids that wear their heart on their sleeve that are really sensitive, that may cry a lot. It is the kid who, someone who will say, you're not my friend, you're not going to be my friend, and you're not coming. Did you all finish it? To my birthday party. And this kid cries forever. And and he's so sad. And you're like, dude, his birthday is next June. Like, chill out. It's totally fine. It is hard for this kid to speak up. It's hard to say, that's mean. I don't want you to say that to me. Yeah, that's hard for this kid. They're supportive. So if someone is crying, I gave birth to this kid, although he has my humor and has my energy. He does have high S tendencies is what it's called. He is really sensitive and supportive. So he's such a good friend. He will see someone crying. He will go and rub their back. He will, even if he wasn't the one who hurt them, he's, of course I'm a little biased, but he's a really cool kid. These kids like the status quo. They do not like surprises at all. So if you are going to have a surprise in your classroom and announce it, know that this kid is going to be like, I don't like that at all. What do you mean? And even as adults will say, who doesn't like surprises? And the people that raise their hand are like adamant about raising their hand. Me, love surprises. So for me, make a surprise. My husband and my mom, they don't want surprises. They want to know what is going to happen. These kids are sweet, they're stable, and they're steady, so they're even keeled. Know that these kids, remember the dominant kid is physically external. The interactive kid is verbally external. These kids stuff and stuff and stuff and stuff and stuff. They stuff their anger. They stuff their excitement. They're just even keeled. Know that a lot of stuffing, it is harder when you stuff because you have to really know the kid well. And it is hard to get it out. And if they stuff too long, they will explode. And not explode like throw a chair, like explode way bigger than that. I think it's easier when you say bad words at me. I think it's easier when you throw a chair at me. I know you're mad. Let's figure it out. Let's work on emotions regulation and emotions modulation. Yeah, let's do that because that is the skill we need to teach these kids. What's the skill? Speak up. Talk to somebody. Write it down. You use the phone to audio record it and share it with somebody. Find who's the person they're going to talk to. These kids are good finishers and slower starters. Why are they slower starters? What are they doing? They're getting their ducks in a row, right? They're finding their ducks. They're putting them in a row. They're going to wait for everything to be just right and set before they move forward. So know in schools or in homes, when you have slower kids, if you can look at it with these eyes, it's a lot easier to look at it with these eyes. That, he's a slower starter and a really good finisher. They will follow through all the way to the end. So how do you write that is a different strategy and a different skill to teach than, I don't know, 1, 2, 3 magic. 1, 2, if I get to 3 and this kid, the sensitive kid has gone into a panic. They've frozen, right? It's either fight, flight, or fear. I mean, fight, flight, or freeze. And they have frozen in space. And you're like, right now you can't get them to do anything. They are slower paced. This is a slower paced temperament. They are people pleasers. Watch how often they follow through on an adult directive. So we want them to follow through 90% of the time at 5 years old and older. You do not want them to follow through 100% of the time because 100% of the time is dangerous. That 10% is I don't want to do what you're telling me, but I have to. I have no choice. I have no power in this relationship or in this decision. And that is not good for kids because they won't grow out of that. They grow into it. So we have to teach them that it's okay if you say, no, I don't want to play with that kid. And they're thinking, that's really mean. Yeah, but he's been mean to you. You don't have to do it. So 90% compliance, that's a huge eye-opener for a lot of parents and a lot of teachers. Don't like surprises, we talked about. They're systematic. They want to know first what happens, second what happens, third what happens. In my son always will say, Mommy, tomorrow is a home day. I said, oh, no, buddy, it's Tuesday. Tomorrow is an Alicia day. That's my friend that watches Brennan. Or tomorrow is a school day. He will start first grade. Oh, my gosh, on Monday. And we do talk about it, and then he repeats it back to me, and then we talk about it again. In school, it's nice if you have pictorial schedules for kids to follow so they know. I had one little boy who needed this systematic approach, and we did it like with a little train of like pictures of what's going to happen. He would take it off and put them in an envelope. So when they were finished, he would take them off and put them down. And for him, it was like, okay, did that, done. Now it's next. Okay, right, first. And then he was very successful because we did that. He also wanted to know what teachers were there. So we put the teacher's pictures up and he made the schedule and made the teacher board every day. And it helped him get to a different place for sure. They don't want you to call them out or point them out in public. They have a hard time public speaking. It's a harder thing for them to do. They don't want you to point them out or call them out in public negatively or positively. They want reassurance. They want that, not out loud, so everybody can hear. They want it like down at their level, quietly, writing them a note, sticking it in their backpack. I remember going to a school and they got the Golden Eagle Award, and there was 3 kids out of 96 kids who would get the Golden Eagle Award. 2 were up there, shining stars. They were great. This third kid was like oh my gosh, I can't believe you just called my name. I have to stand up in front of all these people and get on stage. And they're like, and what, do you want to say anything? I was like, oh my gosh, this kid is going to sweat through his clothes and fall apart right here in front of everybody. And I thought, the poor guy, you should have just said you're going to get the Golden Eagle Award, buddy. And we know you don't want to go up on stage here. Here's the Golden Eagle Award. I'm so proud of you. Just him. Like, I think they thought they were doing him a service. It was such a disservice. It was so disempowering to him. And he looked like he wanted to vomit on stage. I felt terrible. And I wanted to go up and be like, whoa, you're using the wrong toolbox. You're using my toolbox. Call me out in front of public and good things. I will come up there. I will cartwheel. I will throw sparkles and sing songs. This kid does not want to do that. And they were using, right, they had a toolbox and they used the wrong tool for this kid. He is a quieter, this is the quietest of temperaments. So, but because they're quiet, know that quiet doesn't always mean happy. So when they're quiet, make sure you are figuring out how to get to them, how they can speak up and talk and say things. They are nurturing. They're the helpers. So love languages, there's five of them. One is service. They want to help. So what do we do when kids want to help? Right, in schools, we have helping jobs. We have 15 kids and we have 5 helping jobs. This kid's thinking, I am only loved every third day. What am I going to do the other 2 days? Right? Yes, show this kid that I always used to put it on a post to be like, oh man, this is the day you don't have a job that makes you sad. You know we love you here. And I would write the name down of the kid and put it, a post it on my shirt. And sometimes, just to be funny, I would staple it on my shirt. I said, oh, in case the glue doesn't stick. And I would staple it on my shirt. And I would, and this kid looked at me with like beaming eyes thinking, yeah, you got me. You know what I need here, lady. It was great. They're good listeners. So they're really good at, my husband is really good and thoughtful and can see me and get what I'm saying. I am not an awesome listener. I wait for you to sneeze or yawn or take a breath. And then I'm like, oh, I have a story that's probably better than yours. And I just sneak in there. I know at 40, I am working on not doing that. But my husband is such a good listener. My husband has this temperament. They have a hard time making choices. So remember, choice was important with that dominant kid. If you're going to give choices, they're going to pick one. And then you have to be good with what they pick. Know that they're going to make the choice. And if you give a choice inadvertently, it's going to be tough. These kids have a hard time. The sensitive kids have a hard time making choices because they are what? Finding their ducks. They're getting them in a row. They need a minute, right? It's time and patience. So when you're like, oh my gosh, come on, what do you want? Tell me, pick one. They go right into freeze and they're like, oh, I need more time. I don't know why you're saying that. Like, you're making it harder for me to make the choice. I've seen somebody with a basket of fidgets and they're like, pick one. Come on, I have to. And I was like, just put the basket down and this kid will pick the fidget he needs. He didn't even need a fidget. He just wanted one because everybody else had one. And he was just like, I'm like, just chill out. Just let him pick it and give him time. So now we have this sensitive toolbox, the sensitive supportive toolbox. When we come back for break, we're going to talk about this kid who is cautious, a critical thinker. We're going to talk about this kid. We're going to fill up his toolbox. Can't wait. Thanks.
Do you know how powerful your thoughts and beliefs are in determining your experience of your life? Is it really true that simply by changing some of the words you use in your day-to-day language, that you can change your life? I'm Megan Edge. Join me on Playing on the Edge, Radical Change with Ease, with my co-host Dr. Pat on Transformation Talk Radio. I look forward to seeing you there.
To find out more about Megan Edge, visit her website at meganedge.ca.
Hi, I'm Steve Kramer of Spirit Fire Radio, and I believe that meditation changes everything. It leads us in the direction of greater well-being, and that's a fact. I struggled with meditation for years. I understood the principles, but I found it hard to incorporate them into my everyday life. Spirit Fire's meditation practice changed that. It's called the Practice of Living Awareness, and it's taught in 14 steps. These are 14 tools that I can use in any moment, on and off the cushion. Steps like smile, flow, and ground of being support my clarity of mind while I'm navigating the ups and downs of modern life. That's why it's called the Practice of Living Awareness. If you'd like to add meditation to your daily experience, the Practice of Living Awareness is free, online, and it's suited for any level of practitioner. Visit spiritfire.com for more information. And be sure to check out Spirit Fire's meditation retreats in Western Massachusetts. It's all there at spiritfire.com.
Tune in to People Like Us Radio with Megan Lyons, transcending the trauma of the human experience. Megan will be raising the universal consciousness by empowering listeners with their own inner strength, working past trauma and abuse. Megan will show you how to find true healing and inner peace through the art and practice of self-love. Tune in every first and third Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. For more information about Megan and her work, visit enterthelightllc.com.
What is a brilliant culture, and how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough five-step process to help you align your culture with your business strategy for exceptional results. Looking for a culture that drives organizational excellence? Listen to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the second and fourth Friday of each month at 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit culturalbrilliance.com.
Would you like your next chapter to be free from fear and angst? Tune in to Your Next Chapter Radio, navigating through life's transitions with Shelley Ryan the fourth Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Shelley's contagious enthusiasm guides you through life's transitions deliberately, mindfully, and funnily. For Your Next Chapter coaching or to listen, visit YourNextChapterCoaching.com or call 602-617-8351. Next!
You're listening to the Empty Toolbox Radio, where we're going to fire it up, fill it up, and flow it up with Meg Thompson. You know what? I just realized I did not give you any of the information to find me anywhere. And what if you wanted to? What if you wanted to be my friend? So you're going to go, if you want to see my website, you're going to go to megthompson.com. I make it difficult. So Meg is with two G's. So it's megthompson.com. That is my website, and it has webinars. If you're a teacher, you can do self-study webinars and get a certificate. This podcast will be on it that you can get a self-study certificate. There's my short and long thinker products. They're not up yet because I just got them today, but we're going to take a picture. Oh, this is pre-recorded, so by the time you listen to it, they might be up. And a lot of my life coaching and my behavior consulting stuff is up there as well. And all my information, my phone number and my email. My email is meg@megthompson.com. And on my business card, it says, don't forget the second G, because I don't know where Meg Thompson with one G sends you. Not sure. All right. So we're back and we have three toolboxes filled. We have that dominant toolbox. We have that interactive toolbox. We have that sensitive toolbox. So we're going to do the last toolbox. This is the toolbox that is hardest for me. What do I do with someone who is cautious? This is the one, this is the kid, this is the adult that doesn't necessarily need my humor, and I'm not really sure what to do with this child sometimes, and yet I married this. And then all of my boyfriends previous in my life have been this temperament. So I'm attracted to it, but it's the hardest for me as a kid, which is interesting. So these kids are cautious, right? They are not the jumper inners. They are the watchers. So they're going to watch. You need to give them some time. This is a slower paced temperament. They're more reserved. They're critical thinkers. So they are thoughtful and precise and logical. And they, the S also was a poor starter and a good finisher. Same with this. They take a little bit longer because their ducks have to be just right because they are perfectionistic. And because they are perfectionistic, they will set goals for themselves that are higher than any goals we would ever set for them. So this critical thinker piece and the perfectionistic piece sometimes make it so it looks like kids are slower. They are competent. They are correct. They're accurate and analytical. So accurate, if you have a kid that loves dinosaurs, right? I know five dinosaurs. I know the five, like, typical dinosaurs everybody knows. Then the other dinosaurs, who made those names? They're like all consonants and vowels all together, and I don't even know how to pronounce the name, yet this three-year-old who has this temperament knows exactly how to pronounce the name, and I can never get it right, and he will correct me every time, right? He is accurate and correct, and he wants to be accurate and correct. They're analytical, they are careful, and they're precise. That's how we're building this toolbox, and inside this toolbox, again, they are poor starters and good finishers. They do not like surprises. The more reserved temperament, which is a sensitive kid, and this cautious kid do not like surprises. There are two big ones in this toolbox. One is teach flexibility of thought, because this temperament tends to be rigid, meaning it's okay if things don't go exactly as planned, but if you're perfectionistic, that is not how they have thought that. That is not the thought they have had. So I worked with a little girl in a house, and she needed her mom to do her ponytails and her barrettes just so. And the mom's like, the bus is outside, and they're honking, and my one twin is out. The other one is freaking out because I am not doing the hair right, and it's the 20th time I've tried. And I was like, oh, okay. She's like, what do I do? So you're going to teach flexibility of thought, but you're going to teach it very slowly. Remember, I already told you this is a slower temperament. She's like, what does that mean? I don't know how to do it. And I said, so when she comes home and she gets in the bath, they're going to take her hair out. And 5 minutes before bath, you're going to put her hair back in one time. She's going to go and talk to people in the house. And she's going to do it with her hair like that. And nobody's going to say anything. Nobody's going to laugh. She's going to see that it is safe. She's going to look in the mirror and realize that it's okay. And life goes on. And I can still do the things I was planning to do with a little bump in my hair, or with my barrette crooked, or with one a little higher or lower than the other. And she said, then what do we do? I said, you're going to do that for 5 minutes every night for like a couple weeks. She's like, then what? Then you're going to do 10 minutes. And she's like, oh my gosh, it's going to take forever. And I said, yeah, it could. What if it takes 6 months? In 6 months, you're going to be in a different place. If you didn't try it and you didn't put this effort in, what's going to happen? In 6 months, you're still going to be in the same place fighting over the bus. So let's put our work in, right? And then time and patience. We're going to teach skills and meet needs, and then we're going to use our two best friends of time and patience. So that is one, teach flexibility of thought. The second big one in this toolbox is teach social skills. So social skills are not at the forefront of the thought. Task is at the forefront of this thought. They have a need for task completion. They will start it, and they want to finish it in one go round. So teach social skills. How do I enter, maintain, and exit play and conversation? How do I do that? How do I teach this kid to do that? You sit on the floor and you play with them. So I had a dad who had this temperament, and he told me at the end of the meeting that in my head, everybody has a compartment. And I know what to say, how I'm supposed to say, how I'm supposed to say it, what I'm supposed to look like for each person. And I thought, you do? And then I go to the next meeting, and it was like dress up day or something for Spirit Week. And I had I had a mermaid costume on, and I walk in and I was like, sorry, it's a dress up day. And you saw this guy's head like, oh my word, what are you wearing? He was so surprised, and you could see he was thinking like, oh, you messed up my compartment. I don't know how to talk to you and what to say when you look like that. So I said, you could do whatever you want. Like, I am totally safe to figure this out. But he and his son was just like that, very, very rigid. And so we had to he had to learn new social skills for me. These kids are academic. They're the kids who are academic. They love details and can get bogged down with them. So again, that goes with flexibility of thought. They also internalize their feelings. They can internalize their feelings to the point of depression. So watch out for that. They will give in rather than argue. So they don't usually argue. They will just give in. But remember, quiet doesn't mean healthy. So we're wrapping this up. I hope you've got some good stuff. I hope you took notes. If you didn't, I think podcast, you can go back. That's the wonderful thing, right? You can go back. So we have those four toolboxes. Everybody is a combination of all four. But I pick out of the dominant and interactive toolbox most. So kids will pull from different toolboxes at different times. So make sure we have these four toolboxes and we know when to dip in each one. Remember, I'm at megthompson.com if you need to get in touch with me. And next month, we're going to talk about self-care and wellness, because being a teacher and being a parent is real hard and we forget to take care of ourselves first. Thanks, everyone. See you next month. Thank you for listening to The Empty Toolbox. Fire it up, fill it up, and flow it up with Meg Thompson. Tune in the first Wednesday every month, 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern, on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Meg, a certified behavioral consultant and certified life coach working with children, adults, and families, combines humor, new strategies, and non-traditional thoughts challenging mainstream ideas to find emotional wellness for all children. For more information or to listen to this show, visit MegThompson.com.